Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a special meeting of Donegal County Council's Environment Strategic Policy Committee has heard that more staff will soon be in place to boost the council's waste management activity. Planning permission for three wind farms in the Barnsmore area of Donegal has been granted today. A Donegal senator says pressure is mounting for the government to address the neglect of diabetes care in Donegal. And Irish Water has issued a statement urging people across Donegal to conserve water as demand across the county continues to increase. Those stories in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch. But first in news, a special meeting of Donegal County Council's Environment Strategic Policy Committee has heard that more staff will soon be in place to boost the council's waste management activity. Senior Engineer Con McLaughlin told the meeting that the council has been proactive since an RTE programme last week made a number of allegations in relation to illegal dumping, particularly in Inishowen. He also said a special helpline set up in the wake of the programme has been a success. Donal Kavanagh was reporting from today's meeting.
Senior Engineer Con McLaughlin told today's special meeting that since it was established last week, the Council's Special Waste Management Helpline has received 30 reports of unauthorised waste activity at 22 different sites. 15 of those sites had already been under investigation by the Council. The committee's chair, Councillor Jack Murray, asked for assurances that the helpline would be anonymous, expressing concern that people could be threatened if it was known that they had made calls. In relation to the RTE Primetime Investigates programme, Mr McLaughlin said the metrics used by the programme to assess the Council's spending on waste management did not take into account a number of detailed and elaborate programmes in which the Council is and was involved. This means, he said, the actual amount spent in Donegal on waste management was underestimated to a considerable extent. Mr McLaughlin said a number of multi-agency investigations are continuing across Donegal. In relation to the Moville site, he said the probe is at an early stage and RTE is being asked to provide its own documentation to the Council. He also said the Council is seeking increased resources and powers to demand access to records. He confirmed there are ongoing investigations underway elsewhere, including in Bridgend and also Rossbracken outside Letterkenny. Elements of that investigation, he said, are still before the courts.
The chair of the committee is Inishowen Councillor Jack Murray. He says it was important that the meeting took place and said members and the executive are on the same page when it comes to delays with this issue.
I'm encouraged by much of what was said by the council executive now that they are taking proactive actions to address these what seems to be an illegal large-scale waste disposal across particularly my own area of Inishowen. It gave councillors from across the county, the likes of Martin Farnham and my own peninsula as well, to question what's being done to put forward the concerns of our local community, and I would hope that this will address much of the disgraceful activity that was uncovered in RTE, and would have also got assurances that councillors will be briefed and updated as these investigations are ongoing.
You did make the comment, you didn't phrase it quite this way, but many councillors were caught with their pants down in relation to the revelations in that programme that you were caught unawares.
Yeah, and I think many people might be surprised at that, but much of what was uncovered councillors weren't aware of, councillors weren't briefed by the executive, even the investigations were ongoing, wasn't brought to the attention of councillors. So I would hope that that will never happen again, that we will be kept fully informed and briefed as this is ongoing, because this is an issue of huge importance and we as public representatives need to be kept up to date with what's going on.
One of the points that was made today was the metric or the formula RTE used to calculate the level of spending didn't actually fully reflect the work being done by the council and the various cross-agency and multi-agency programmes that the council's involved in. There was a suggestion that that was unfair, that the council is doing more than was suggested.
Yeah, I do think that is fair for the executive to say. I think there's different ways that the amount of money spent on waste collection is counted across different council areas, the likes of street sweeping maybe come under roads in Donegal, where it'll come under environment in other councils, so there is that discrepancy. But I've encouraged that we're taking on another waste enforcement officer and we will be employing another four, so that is encouraging that we will have the resources and the staff to tackle this very, very serious problem.
Planning permission for three wind farms in the Barnsmore area of County Donegal has been granted today. And Bord Pleanála published details of the application on their website for Mean Bog, Craighanna and Cashel Naveen. The proposals have been strongly opposed by some residents in the area. Finn Valley Wind Action Group spokesperson Marie Scanlon has been reflecting on today's decision.
We're absolutely stunned this morning at the news that decision has been made to allow this development to go ahead in the Barnsmore area. suppose there's absolutely no doubt that this will forever change the landscape of the area and the natural beauty. That's just very disappointing, because there's obviously a very clear conflict with natural justice and the fair procedures applied and the actual consultation process. Board Planala were presented with many serious omissions on the application, and a very clear deficit was made in the assessments carried out by the developer. And just find this as an unbelievable approach, that this is acceptable to him, Board Planala, to grant permission. So the board and their notification this morning did note that the proposed development now lies in an area where wind farms are not favoured, in accordance with the new county development plan, which only came into effect on the 5th of June. Now, the board considered that this proposed site was not appropriate location. However, they have still granted permission, so I think that there are questions the validity of the county development plan. I mean, there's a huge input goes on to the plan, you know, in the consultation process, which requires serious input, time and effort from the planners, the councillors and the public alike. We have a very clear decision from Donegal County Council that this area is huge environmental sensitivity and it's not favourable, but yet Board Planala go ahead and grant permission.
And a link to the full statement is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Irish Water is urging people across Donegal to conserve water as demand across the county continues to increase. The utility says, along with Donegal County Council, they are monitoring all supplies across Donegal on a daily basis, with the two at-risk schemes identified as Lochmourne and Milford Public Water Supplies. Parts of the country have already seen outages in water supply, including Athlone, Kilkenny, Longford and North Dublin. Kate Gannon from Irish Water says there's no room for complacency.
If the drought is prolonged, water restrictions could become unavoidable given the trends. So Irish Water are appealing to the public to continue to be mindful of their usage. Every effort someone makes in their home or business impacts their neighbour and their community.
A Donegal senator says pressure is mounting for the government to address the neglect of diabetes care in Donegal. It follows confirmation from management at Letterkenny University Hospital that there are sufficient numbers of adults and children with type 1 and type 2 diabetes in the county to merit a diabetes centre of excellence. The Donegal branch of Diabetes Ireland has long campaigned for a centre to be based in the northwest that would be shared between Sligo and Letterkenny, and have previously published a map detailing the disparity of care when compared with other parts of the country. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says it's time resources were put in place.
What's really interesting about this response is that I had a parliamentary question submitted to the minister, and the minister asked the HSE to respond. So I'm taking this response, which was drafted by management at Letterkenny Hospital, as the official response back from the minister. That's the only way I can take it. So the minister has to now accept that his government, his HSE, the hospital at Letterkenny, are accepting that the numbers of children, of adults with diabetes type 1 and 2 in Donegal and indeed in the Northwest demand a centre of excellence. You know, the minister has been face-to-face with the campaigners in Donegal on a number of occasions. He knows the facts, and it's time now for the government to put in place resources. What are the resources? It's estimated at 1.5 million. So it's not a massive amount of money, particularly we're talking about diabetes here. Diabetes, we're told, is the biggest threat, biggest health threat to the Irish people moving into the future. We're talking here, if you invest money at an early stage, you stop the complications down the line that are, you know, people going blind, that are amputations, all of the serious health implications. So this is vitally important that we invest the money now to prevent the damage down the line.
Concern has been expressed over ongoing delays with the Derry Donegal to Dublin A5. A judgment and subsequent appeal by the department, which is due to be heard in late June, has now been rescheduled for a hearing in the High Court on the 4th of September and is likely to run over four consecutive days. As a result, it's unlikely that the construction will begin before December. Cathaoirleá of the Stranorna Municipal District is Councillor Patrick McGowan.
This project is further delayed to December of this year, and possibly even longer. And I must say, it's very, very frustrating and very disappointing. And, you know, but one can't but help to think, is this a legacy now of having no parliament or no government in Northern Ireland? You know, it really is getting frustrating, and it's gone beyond a joke.
The new Garda Commissioner will be allowed to bring in his own team of support staff. Dre Harris is the first outsider to be appointed to the top Garda job and may bring some of his leadership team from the PSNI. At least two current senior members of Garda management were in the running for the Commissioner post. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan says Mr. Harris will be expected to work well with them.
There may well be an opportunity for the new Commissioner to bring with him a very small number of support staff, but he will be working with Garda management as a team in on Garda Síochána Conaill, and I want to acknowledge the commitment and dedication of the current Garda management team.
The Killybegs campus of the Letterkenny Institute of Technology has secured €1.4 million from the Higher Education Authority for four springboard courses in the hospitality sector. The courses had previously been funded by Fáilte Árnaid, and when that finished, the Killybegs campus led out on a project to secure the money from elsewhere. The courses will be in the areas of culinary skills and also restaurant and hotel management. Kieran O'Hanrahan is head of the School of Tourism at LYIT. He outlined the breakthrough on Around the Northwest earlier today.
We've worked very hard over the last number of years to seek alternative funding for additional programmes. As you might know, Fáilte Árnaid were very strongly involved in funding programmes in the past, and they made an executive decision last year to pull out of all funding. So Killybegs was one of the colleges fairly severely hit with that. So I led a consortium, a national consortium, and we approached the HEH to look at alternative funding sources. So we put a proposal together. I led out on that. And we were successful on getting four programmes funded. A lot of them based in Killybegs, but we are working with our partners and the other IOTs. But it's Killybegs led out on the project this year. If we don't fill these places, we won't be getting that funding next year, because the HEL will come back and say, there's no demand. So we won't give you money. So we need to make sure we fill these places on these courses.
It has been announced that former Fine Gael councillor Mickey Doherty is to be co-opted onto Donegal County Council, replacing John Ryan in the Inishowen Municipal District. Meanwhile, Michelle McKenna from Buncrana has announced her intention to contest the 2019 local elections for Fine Gael. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Former councillor Mickey Doherty, who was elected to the local authority as a councillor for the first time in 2009 and represented the Inishowen electoral area for 5 years, will replace John Ryan, who announced his resignation in May. Meanwhile, at Fine Gael's selection convention, Michelle McKenna from Buncrana, who has been a party activist for a number of years, also announced her intention to contest the 2019 local elections. Speaking at Fine Gael's selection convention, Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says, despite successfully running in the 2014 local elections, Mr. Doherty has continued to make himself available to the people of Inishowen, and Ms. McKenna has a strong record in community service and has played key roles in campaigns.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking all the running footwear and accessories you need to go the distance.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer, and defending champions Germany have been eliminated at the World Cup's group stage for the first time since 1938. Needing a win to reach the last 16, they lost 2-0 to South Korea in Kazan. Both Korean goals came in injury time at the end of the 90 minutes. Sweden topped the group after beating Mexico 3-0, but despite the defeat, Mexico go through in second position. Korea finished third in Group F with the defending champions bottom. Brazil need only a draw with Serbia tonight in Moscow to make it through to the last 16. Similarly, Switzerland only need a point from their meeting with the already eliminated Costa Rica. Both of those games kick off at 7 p.m. AC Milan have been banned from next season's Europa League for breach of financial fair play rules. Their ban was the result of them failing to make the break-even requirement. Dusan Tadic has left Southampton for Ajax. The Serbian forward has been a regular at St Mary's since moving from Twente 4 years ago. Southampton have pocketed €11.4 million from the Dutch giants for Tadic's services. And staying with Southampton, a 16-year-old Colossal Hunkilla Bally Shannon student has signed a 3-year contract with the Premier League side's Youth Academy. Seamus Keogh, who plays for Sligo Rovers under-17s, will officially join the Saints on the 1st of July. Keogh has also captained Ireland's under-15s and under-16s in the past few years. Gaelic games now, and the All-Ireland Super 8 start for Donegal on the weekend of the 14th and 15th of July, with the first of their three games at Croke Park against Dublin. The new format will see sides play three games, one home, one away and one at Croke Park. Donegal's home game will be their final game in the series on the bank holiday weekend in August. That's a scenario that Donegal management and supporters alike feel is unfair given they are Ulster champions. Brendan Devenny said on Highland's 9 till noon show this morning that while from the outset it looks like a disadvantage, it could go either way.
Depending on how things go, Greg, if you were to lose, for example, Dublin, if you were to beat the likes of a Roscommon or a Cork or whoever came through from them two games, you could have your home game in your own hands at the end. It just depends how you look at it. You know, hopefully we'll go up and rattle the Dubs and win the two games, and then we can have a nice handy one at home. Who knows? But certainly, as it stands now, Greg, it looks like a disadvantage. And certainly the Dublin thing, the fact that neutral ground, I mean, if you're on about crowds, I mean, you could have taken that game to the likes of a Clonus, and it would have sold out and been a fantastic game. And then I think the Dubs would have relished that. So I think maybe that's a bit of a mistake. First year of the Super 8, I don't think the GAA took any perspective, you know, what the thinking was out there. And as Eamon was saying previous, there's certainly a kickback around the fact that Croke Park is not maybe this place where everybody just wants to go and play a big match if they're giving up an advantage.
Brendan Devenny there. Staying with Gaelic games, and Jim McGuinness says Dublin should only have one of their Super 8s fixtures at Croke Park. The All-Ireland champions are set to play both their home and neutral games at headquarters, but the former Donegal boss says that gives them an unfair advantage.
We were the last team to beat them in 2014 in the championship, so it's almost inevitable that Dublin will progress from this group if they're given two home games in Croke Park. And I think the right thing to do would be to play the game in Donegal, to play the game in Dublin, and you've got the neutral venue. Can you imagine 40,000 people in Clonus for Donegal against Dublin, and what that would bring, you know, to the whole country?
The GAA have confirmed that the capacity for Kildare's third round football qualifier with Mayo will remain at 8,200. Both county committees are to receive 1,500 tickets each to distribute to their clubs, with the remainder being used to accommodate season ticket holders. Mayo had earlier sought assurances that their 3,500 season ticket holders could all still be accommodated on Saturday. The move out of Croke Park marks a significant victory for the Kildare County Board after making it clear that they would not play at Croke Park. Today's chain of events has also seen Cavan's qualifier with Tyrone move to Brewster Park in Enniskillen. Tickets originally bought for the Croke Park doubleheader are no longer valid, and refunds can be sought at the point of purchase. And finally in sport today, Sean Devenny from the Northwest Snooker Club in Letterkenny will be making a long journey to Zhejiang City in China this Sunday to compete at this year's under-18 and under-21 World Snooker Championship. Sean, one of the county's top players, has reached four Irish finals in a row and is ranked number 2 at under-18 level. This is his second time playing in a World Championship, and he was unlucky to be beaten in the knockout stages in Belgium 2 years ago. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. A newly formed Donegal ICT and FinTech working group aims to address the struggle within the county to meet the demand for jobs in the sector. This Department of Education and Skills initiative, facilitated by the Northwest Regional Skills Forum, will encourage collaboration between industry, local education and training providers. With 81% of the ICT and FinTech workforce in the Northwest based in the Donegal region, Dr. Orne Doherty, Northwest Skills Forum Manager, says the working group is about creating a pathway from post-primary into the sector.
Going forward, the members of this Donegal ICT and FinTech group, which is mainly comprised of employers from those sectors, along with representatives from LYIT and Donegal ETB, we would see significant potential for both the ICT and FinTech sectors in the future. And I suppose there's a concern, will there be enough talent available locally to address the needs that the companies would have? So we feel that coming together and promoting working and studying in ICT and FinTech locally will help maybe address that challenge.
And there is hope that the group can work with post-primary schools within Donegal to address this.
Definitely. There's a willingness on both sides, you know, from the side of industry and from the side of education and training to make this work. The companies themselves from the ICT and FinTech sectors, they want to engage with the post-primary schools in the county and, you know, engage in relation to maybe placements from transition year students, guest speakers, taking students and to see the work that's been done in the IT and fintech companies, we're hoping that maybe that might maybe inspire people in secondary schools to consider working locally in the ICT and fintech sectors.
A 13-year-old boy charged with the murder of Kildare schoolgirl Anna Creashall will find out on Friday if he will be granted bail or not. The accused made an application for bail at the High Court this morning. From there, Stephanie Grogan reports.
14-year-old Anastasia, or Anna Creashall, was reported missing on the 14th of May, and 3 days later her body was found in a derelict building in Lucan, County Dublin. A 13-year-old boy was charged with her murder on the 25th of May, and he's been detained at the Oberstown Children's Detention Campus ever since. He can't be named because of his age. This morning he applied for bail at the High Court. He was accompanied by his parents, his grandfather and a barrister and solicitor, and was allowed to sit with his family but didn't address the court. Inspector Garda Mark O'Neill, who's leading the investigation, objected to bail. Judge Robert Eager reserved judgment until Friday and imposed strict reporting restrictions. The teenage accused will find out then if he'll be granted bail or not, pending trial. Stephanie Grogan at the High Court, sitting in Cloverhill.
The IFA says a hard border would have devastating consequences for Donegal. Donegal IFA Chair Michael Chance recently visited the border in Norway and Sweden to see firsthand the impact on business trade when crossing a land border between a country inside the EU and one outside. Mr. Chance says while there is excellent cooperation between the two countries in relation to border checks, there are still delays to commercial traffic. He says the visit reaffirmed the vital need for total customs alignment along the border.
It brought everything into focus, the reality of a border coming back.
And in Norway and Sweden, in relation to the border checks, there is delays between commercial traffic, and it's feared that this could be the same in Donegal.
It could, yeah. I mean, we went up to look at Blifford border with the intention of planning a demonstration up there with regard to this. And if we had a demo at Lifford border, even slowing the traffic down, or mind 2 minutes per vehicle, we would have caused chaos and probably had the general public after us. So that's how busy the border is.
And although it has always been feared since it was announced that Britain was to leave the EU that there would be delays at the border, this has now reaffirmed this for you.
Well, it has reaffirmed that we have to push for total customs alignment for the UK. Otherwise, that is the result. The British government at the minute is slowly moving to a soft Brexit, but it needs to, for trade across the border, both agricultural and other, it needs to be a proper members of the customs union and everything for free trade.
The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service is currently dealing with a gorse fire on the Glensheen Pass in Dungiven. 4 appliances and a command support unit responded to the report received this morning at around 4:57 a.m. The NIFRS say the fire front is approximately 1 mile in length and consists of 5 separate fires. They say they are monitoring the situation, but as the fires are in a remote location, there is no current risk to life or property. The GRA has described as worrying new figures which show a rise in most crime groups. New CSO figures for the first 3 months of the year indicate robberies, hijackings, fraud and deception have increased by 16%. Sex offences have risen by 15%. However, there was a 17% drop in the number of murders. John O'Keefe is the Director of Communications with the Garda Representative Association.
It is worrying. We should be cautious about looking at any particular quarter or year results. We need to look over longer period of time, but certainly it's not looking good on everything bar homicide. And the GRA isn't surprised that they show the crime has gone up in all areas bar homicide. Lack of Garda resourcing and legislative deterrence remain the key drivers, we would say, of these figures and these increase in figures.
And for weather now, long spells of sunshine this evening and light easterly breezes, staying dry and calm overnight with lowest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees with some patches of mist or fog developing towards dawn. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a special meeting of Donegal County Council's Environment Strategic Policy Committee has heard that more staff will soon be in place to boost the council's waste management activity. Senior engineer Con McLaughlin told the meeting that the council has been proactive since an RTE programme last week made a number of allegations in relation to illegal dumping, particularly in Inishowen. Irish Water is urging people across Donegal to conserve water as demand across the county continues to increase. The utility says, along with Donegal County Council, they are monitoring all supplies across Donegal on a daily basis, with the two at-risk schemes identified as Lochmourne and Milford Public Water Supplies. Planning permission for three wind farms in the Barnsmore area of County Donegal has been granted today, and Bord Pleanála published details of the application on their website for Meanbog, Craighoyna and Cashel Naveen. And a Donegal senator says pressure is mounting for the government to address the neglect of diabetes care in Donegal. It follows confirmation from management at Letterkenny University Hospital that there are sufficient numbers of adults and children with type 1 and type 2 diabetes in the county to merit a diabetes centre of excellence. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 27th of June. The death has taken place of Anne Curran, Tully Cleeve, Ardra. Her remains will repose at her residence from 8:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 4 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The sudden death has taken place of Fiona Devine, née Mullen, 24, Lisnefin Park, Strabane, and formerly of Killyclogher, Oma. Her remains will repose at her home from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of John Celtic MacDade, 232 Rossuila, Old Town, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 10 o'clock in St. Edan's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Newlech Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Sheila Duffy, Rosemount, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 11:30 to St. Enan's Cathedral for funeral mass at 12 noon, followed by interment in Conwall Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Mary's Meals, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Maureen Tate, Inish O'Neill, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Pat O'Donnell, née Ronahan, Ballylast, Lifford, and formerly of Rosemount, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Ashling and Mark O'Neill's home, 9A Woodend Road, Strabane. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 12 noon.